You might want to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we bow head and heart in your presence. Thank you very much. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful person and work on Calvary's cross. And Father, we're looking to you for you to be honored, for us to have the benefits of your presence, of your day, in the light of all that has been, in the light of all that shall be tomorrow. And our God, we're looking to you with thanksgiving. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, in the upper room, Christ on his way, hours, literally just hours before he's crucified. Now, in the book of Ruth, you would recall the Ruth as a Moabitess, and as a Moabitess, she, by way of Boaz, by way of Ruth, etc., and her husband, she is brought into the Jewish relationship, and in the process, with the husband, her husband died, the sister doesn't want to go, and here she is. Naomi's going back to her home in Bethlehem. Now, but very noted statement she makes, because Naomi says, "Stay home. This is your country, your language, your people." And in chapter 1, Ruth, verse 16, Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more so, or more also, if aught but death part thee and me." And when she saw, Naomi, when she saw that she, Ruth, was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left off speaking unto her. And just to remind you, it's a very, very noted commitment of a person. And Ruth had an awesome commitment to Naomi, even to the burial site. Boy, was she committed. No question. That's a commitment. Now, over, if you would, to the Gospel of John. And chapter 15. Gospel of John and chapter 15. Thank you. And you recall, they're all having told to stand, arise, a command, and here they are, have to be in the upper room there, and as we shared all that. And there they are, and the Lord is going to, it is a highly intensified moment, because they've been talking about it, about Judas has gone out to betray him earlier, and here they are. And they know something awesome, awful is going to happen, and they can't, their world is going to come to an end. Christ is going to die. And they rise up, and it's going to happen now. As long as you're sitting, it isn't happening. But once you rise up and go out the door, it's going to be. And so it's very high. And the Lord tells them that which they must understand. He's told them awesome things. You read some of them in your scripture reading, John chapter 14, etc. Awesome truth is going to be theirs. They're going to know him. He's going to know them. They are going to know the Father and the Son in their heart. I mean, that's overwhelming. How can that be? Hang on. Therefore, we share together in verse 1, I am the vine, true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, cleanses it, he prunes it, etc., that it may reason you're going to do all of that work. The Father is going to do all of that work is because he wants, looking for wonderful, wonderful fruit. And therefore, the very next statement, think of the word purging in verse 2, to cleanse, to make clean. Slide your mind down to verse 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And we share together, all of that, that they have been listening, and the word, they're with him. They are able to identify with him. We share together in John 11, etc. Thomas said, let us cross the Jordan and all die with him. They knew that. There's a commitment. Peter said, whatever's going to happen, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to die like you do. I'm going to die ultimately like that. Now, so there's a commitment. So they're related. But it's not in their heart for real, like it will be. But they're already connected. They aren't going anywhere. We share that in John 6. They have nowhere else to go. Their world is coming to an end. Prison, death itself, whatever it's going to be, it's all, but God, we aren't going anywhere else. We aren't going to anyone else. We're hanging right in there, all the way to the end. Commitment. Wow. That made a relationship. You are clean through the word. My words, you listen to them. You're with me. You have them in your head and heart, even though you don't understand them, even though you forget them. They're there. A unique, wonderful relationship. Now. And therefore, that's the background for the necessity that God is going to make very clear to them, very simple. Remember the Jewish people as a nation, they are God's vine. They are to produce a wonderful fruit, grapes, in order that the world might know of a wonderful Messiah and God in the nation and in by the nation of Israel. Now, so therefore, in verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. Now, he's telling them they have to have a unique relationship. And for those of you who sat through Sunday school and had an exercise, I hope. If you want exercise, that's not so good. But hopefully you rumbled around in all of that. You're ready for this part. You're going to pick it up just like that because you just went through it. Now, therefore, abide in me. Abide. That's what they need to do. And in the process of abiding, remember we shared it, it's unique. God is the farmer, is the owner, is the cultivator. It's his garden, his grapevine. God the Father, it's all God's. God in Christ the Son is the vine. God, this isn't like anything else, no angels, no humans, nothing else. It's all about you, God, from start to finish. And you're talking, or for them, the 11, and for us, believers, we're to have a unique relationship to you. And it isn't just to any old thing or any old one. You are going to give us a personal, awesome relationship to your wonderful being. And you, Father, our Father, you are using your Son, having your Son better. It's your Son that is going to make the connection between Father, you, and us, and the connection that we're going to have to you is by your Son, our Savior. That's right. Awesome. Now, and I got to remind you again, it's a unique, you're going to abide. You're all abiding in the pew, most of you, and I don't, even if you get wiggly in that, you're still on the pew. So no matter how you feel, you may have all kinds of things going on, but you're always sitting in the pew. You might be daydreaming and waiting for the next 5 minutes when I can get you to sleep, get you to go to sleep. And you're waiting, but you're abiding. You stay in the pew. No matter what we do, you're abiding. Hang on to that. Now, and this is from last week, so I can't even guarantee anything, except this part's guaranteed. This part. That's a hose. And we you gotta lock it in because it's awesomely personal. The hose can have water go through it, milk go through it, and everything goes through it. Maybe it's a good ceramic or something. It goes through it, and it's clean. So no matter what I put through, it goes through, and the hose itself never participates in any of it. It just is a channel. That's all. But God isn't talking about you being a channel. He's not talking about you. He's talking about abiding. This is from last week. It stopped abiding. It's all finished abiding. And it's going to reach this point dead. Now, but you've got all these plants. And all of those plants have a unique relationship. They are just there. And make believe that whatever the fruit comes from, think of that, apples or something. And they're living. And the branch has to share. Here's the fruit coming out here. The branch has to share the sap, the vital juices flowing in the branch. And here's the trunk of the tree over here, and the trunk is sending its life into the branch, and the branch stays attached, and all of that life rides through, and every part of the branch is enjoying life. And it shows that it is enjoying life by the leaves. It shows that it is living the same life as the trunk, because you see the fruit. The fruit isn't in the branch. The life sap is in the branch. The fruit is out here to see. What is the fruit doing? The fruit is showing you where it's coming from. It's coming from the life. I could not take this branch of this particular fruit, make believe, and tie it to an oak tree. It will die. It is not an oak. The oak tree has to have branches that are oak branches to produce the acorns, etc. Every branch has to have, the tomato has to have tomato life. The orange tree has to have orange life in the branch. It has to have. What are you talking about, God? I'm talking about an abiding relationship. You haven't got it yet to the 11. You haven't got it yet, but you're going to have it just a few days from now. You're going to have it on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. You're going to have it, but not yet. But you have something. I want you to have something that you need. Without it, I'm going to be gone, said the Lord, crucified, risen, and seated at the right hand of the Father. You're going to be here. And you can't just have me helping you every minute whenever we go for 3 1/3 years. It's all over. Now you're going to be representing me directly. You're going to be attached to me in a unique way. Now, in your physical body right now, you live inside of your body. We don't even think about it, but it's what it is. A person's inside the body, soul, spirit. They live inside the body. And here they are inside the body. Fine. They have a physical body. God made the physical body to respond. You have a brain, blood, bones, everything. And you respond. And when it does that, your physical body sends, when it hurts, it sends a message to the sensory system, the nervous system, and your body's that's hurting sends a message to you, and you hurt because you share the body. You share the life. Your body shares your life, doesn't it? And your body, that's why God made your body to be a servant, as we shared in the city of refuge, etc., in Joshua. The body serves. It's meant to serve you. We're made from the dust of the ground. The body is to serve. It's your body. It salutes you. It's yours to be here on earth. How can we enjoy earth? How can you enjoy pizza without a body? You can't. So here we are on planet earth. And the body is meant to serve. When sin came along, then the inside person in here has a problem. And that problem is handed over to the body. Thus, wages of sin is death. And so we have a physical body that is now having to handle all the germs and all the world around it in coming and going, just being alive, physical body, eyes, ears, nose, throat, brain, blood. And it has to live with you inside, and it shares your life. So when your life is without God, and when your life is carnal, when your life is fleshly, your body is living with that, just like the branch. It's living in it. So it's flowing in you. And your physical body is going to say, hey, what's going on? And it affects it. Remember, you know all these things. 85% or so of all the different, I did all of that research years ago. All of the 85% or whatever of your physical problems are from your mind. They aren't from germs. They're from your mind. How you think makes the stress on your body and makes all of the problems. 85, that's pretty high. Some Mayo Clinic and some of them said 90%. Wow. So God, here we are. Now, what are you telling the disciples? I'm going to have you abide in me. So that what? And here's your old sin nature with running, trying to do right. But we come to know the Lord as our Savior, and we're able to have a unique relationship to God. What does God give us? We should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. It's life flowing. Whose life? God's life. So that your body is able to benefit now as you trust God and abide. Your body enjoys the peace of God which passes on everything and enjoys all the wonderful everything that God is doing. The life of God flowing in you, and it produces what? Fruit. I don't have fruit. It isn't my peace, my joy, my love. It isn't God. I'm not God. You're not God. God is God. God in you is God. God flowing through you is God. And God's going to show his your unique relationship to him by way of the fruit. And the fruit is going to show whom? Who's going to get all the glory? Who gets congratulated? Not you. God. God is congratulated. When you're right with God and everything is going, God gets all the applause. It isn't you, it's him. The fruit isn't the branch. The fruit is the vine, the trunk showing itself in the fruit. The fruit is God's. And you say, well, and our Lord Jesus Christ said, all that I do by way of my relationship to God the Father. And my relationship to God the Father is of such a nature that I live. And you know, John 6, I live. And the life that I live shows what? Shows the fruit. Who's it show, Lord? It shows my Father. Our Lord would say what? If you've seen me, you're what? You've seen the Father. Do you understand? The fruit. God gets congratulated. Wow. That's what you want, God. That's right. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm not trying to use your... you've already got your death. I already condemned that. Think of Sunday school, reckon, dead. I don't use that. I don't want that. No, I don't want that. I'm going to talk. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk. Shh. Just do what I told you. Reckon yourself dead. Abide. I want you to abide. First John, if you would. And in chapter 3. First John chapter 3. And may I pick up in thought. In John chapter 3, may I go directly in the Apostle John, who wrote the Gospel of John, who's the penman, wrote this, same period of history. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwell, that's the word dwell, abide, dwell, to stay. He that dwelleth abideth in him, and he in him. So the believer is going to go, he that hath his God's commandments dwelleth in God, and he, God, in the believing heart, him. And hereby we know, what are we going to know when we abide? Hereby we know that he abideth in us, there's your word, abide and dwell, by the Spirit which he hath given us. And it is the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry to make it real. You don't make it real. We just said that. And I don't make it real. Remember, we did that in Sunday school, among other things. I said it, remember I said, because it was, I do, I'll do it again, because I forget it after this. I said, everyone, joy, it's Merry Christmas. And I said, all of you, be joyous. Ready? Joy. Ready? I can tell you, all joyous. There's no question. This is flowing out of you. Peace. Be peace. 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 God does that. And you don't have to help God. That's our problem. We're trying to have the fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc. And we want it. No, you don't. You don't have it. You can marry. No, you don't. Merry Christmas. Say. No. God does that. And you don't do it. And he may you abide in the seat cushion wonderfully says, I just love to be a seat cushion to you. And I want you to sit there. I don't want you to worry about a thing. Just sit and abide, and I'll be a seat cushion. Now, Is the seat cushion fulfilling itself to you right now? Is the seat cushion honoring? Is it being consistent, faithful? Right now. You may not feel it and you say, what's that guy talking about? You may do all of that. But the cushion is being a cushion. And if you think about it, you have to thank you for being a cushion. Wow. It could be a prickly thorn bush. But it isn't. It's a wonderful, soft cushion of whatever. Sits there. That's what God, what do you want me to do? I want you to abide. I'll be God. I am the fruit. Spirit of God, Galatians 5, 22, 23. The Spirit, fruit of the Spirit of God is love, joy, peace. I'm going to be that. I don't want you to be it. I'm going to be it. And you trust me. You reckon. That's where Sunday school comes in. That's where it comes. That's how it works. But, no. I want you to abide. Oh, I don't mind. I'm an intellect. I don't. That's all interesting. I'm a Christian and yeah, I'm a believer. I'm a pastor. I'm a theologian. I am a writer. No. God, you aren't looking for that? No. I want you to enjoy my wonderful person that cost me my son to make that happen for you. I died on the cross in my son so you could have this. And all you're going to do is allow me to be God in your life. And I will be God. You are never going to be God. You are going to enjoy the flow of my life, the relationship you have to my son. And that's what you're going to enjoy. And I'm going to keep you and care for you and everything. And in the process, 1 John chapter 4. Verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. We love one another. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. That's right. Verse 13, hereby then we know, verse 13, we know that we dwell, there's your little word abide, dwell, we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Otherwise, you don't know. It is the Spirit of God's ministry for you to know. Not for you to know. Say, I don't know, I'm thinking about it. I don't care. You don't have to ever think about it. Just be it. When you were born physically, did you say, well, I'm going to think about breathing? Did you think about eating? What did you think about? You just did it because you were alive. What are we going to do, God? Come a big to prove something, to validate that we're somebody? We're something? No. No. I made it an earthen vessel. Earthen vessels of the dust of the ground. So it isn't of you at all. It's all about me, said God. The angels I made different, but you are less than them, made from the dust of the ground. And I did it for the angels to pay attention and look. And here's inferior creatures in that sense. And watch what I do with them. Wow. Wow. Now, having said that a little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, back over, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 15. Now remember, the wonderful life that God gives us, that's what you're abiding in Christ, who is our life. Who is our life? And we could have done that in 1 John, we didn't, but here's John chapter 17 while you're coming back there. John chapter 17 and in verse 3. And this is eternal life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. It's unique, personal relationship to God in a most awesome way. And we're to have this unique relationship to God. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Over to John chapter 14, verse 20, again and again. John chapter 14, at that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. A wonderful, 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 a wonderful, abiding, unchangeable, unchangeable, awesome relationship forever. It's a unique relationship. I want you to be fruitful. If you want fruitful, we shared all of that together. I'm going to do everything I can to have you profit. In my long before being angry, long suffering, long before being angry, I gave you you were saved a year, you were saved 2 years, you were saved 5 years, you were saved 10 years. I gave you time to produce. I gave you space to grow, to know. Depending on the environment, the atmosphere, of course, all of that's critical. There's no question you can't live in the middle of East Oshkosh, where there's nothing. You can't live in Turkey, country of Turkey, Saudi Arabia, no churches. You can't live there and expect to do this like we are right now. It's a privilege of our country because of our background, etc. Now, therefore, in John chapter 15 and in verse 5, I am the vine. In other words, I am the vine, and you are the branches. So now, I want you to know, and you can remember the end of verse 4, you cannot, no more can you abide in me, if except you abide in me, no more can ye abide, except you abide in me. You can't produce any fruit. How are you going to have fruit? Say it another way, fruit. The life, expression of God's wonderful life. If you don't allow the fruit to, if the inflow coming into, the inflow coming into the branch must outflow, else there's no flow. The inflow, life, it can't just stop here, because then there's no leaves, no fruit. No, the inflow must keep what? Flowing, abiding for the outflow. Or else there's no flow. Nothing's going to happen. No leaves. It's going to be like this branch. And you know what branch? I didn't, and it, you can just do that. And all of those things, wow. That's all it is. Now, it doesn't mean that it didn't belong to the vine. It does. But it has no fruit. It has no fruit. There's no evidence here. No evidence of life, only death. And God, you aren't about dying, dead people. You gave us eternal life, a unique, wonderful relationship to you. To exercise it. Now, verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. That's how it's going to be. I tried to fumble it out to you. Inflow must outflow, else no flow. It's just going to come. That's what it comes. It isn't something you feel, I'm going to feel it. No, it isn't. You're just wonderfully looking to God, resting in God, and God's doing what he does. So I didn't feel any apples or pears or peaches. No. No, I just am resting in his person and work. Thank you. That's why you say thank you a lot. Because he has to do it. God, I can't do it. And the church system isn't going to do it. Religion isn't going to do it. And your flesh and your intellect isn't going to do it either. Grace is going to do it. And therefore, verse 5, Without me, you can do nothing. Now, and therefore, I would ask, what is nothing? No, that's a trick question. What is nothing? What do you mean if I give you nothing means? I'm going to give you all nothing for Christmas. How's that? That makes it good. I don't have to go to the store, Kmart or something. You got the idea. Zero. Nothing. And the way to be sure of it is write a big zero on the blackboard, and then take the eraser and erase the rim. Nothing. Nothing. John chapter 5. Gospel of John chapter 5. And you will note, our Lord, remember now, I'm going to have you just so you see it. Over to John chapter, hold your finger here, John chapter 6, have it in your mind. John chapter 6, verse 57. 6:57. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now, back over to John chapter 5. Our Lord Jesus Christ, as I live by the Father. Now watch, you know all this. Chapter 5, verse 18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. Why? Because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And the Jews, who weren't stupid about everything, they knew what he was saying. He said, you're telling us you're God. And that's absolutely right. And he's going to say it again and again and again, page after page. I told you I was God. I didn't lie to you. See me, you see your Father. So you'll see the Father. So they know that. They have no question. Now, having said that, they understood you're God. Now what else about you? Verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, most assuredly, amen, amen, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. There's your little verb to do. Verse 30, I can of my own self do how much? Nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If, verse 31, if I talk about myself, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. God didn't create me, born in Bethlehem of Judea, to be me. God created me for God to show his wonderful person who he is. It isn't about my humanness, it's about his deity, his awesome person. I'm made of the dust of the ground without sin, born in Bethlehem of Judea. And so, God, what do you say? You said it in verse 19, the Son can do nothing. Verse 30, I am myself do nothing, nothing, nothing. Over, if you would, chapter 8. You know all of this over and over again, but we don't put it together always. John chapter 8. Verse 28, then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up, crucify, the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, that I do how much of myself? Nothing. But as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things to please him. But you don't do anything. That's correct. I do nothing. But everything I do pleases him. God, would you help us with that? At least start. I got it. Do you understand? God made us humans. Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem, Judea, the perfect man, God-man, is going to demonstrate God. Uh-huh. So the human being, angels can serve and worship and experience God, are good guys, in a wonderful way, but you're different. the Lord Jesus said, I am a branch, and God is in me. I can't say that about Lucifer, son of the morning. I can't say that about a zillion angels. But I can about the Son of Man. He, God, that's right. God said, listen, I created him. So God, what are you saying, Lord? Without the Father, there's no explanation for your human being human apart from God. There's no explanation for your uniqueness apart from God. Wow. Now, God, what are you saying? It's all about God. God created us for himself to enjoy him. The life flowing through us like the branch. Whose life? God's life. To show what? God. I do nothing of myself. Do you know? But I have all the allness, A-L-L, allness of God every second. That's why, verse 29, I do always those things to please him. I'm always doing. But you're eating and drinking to the what? Whatever you do, washing, doing the laundry, dishes, work, home, whatever you do, do it as what? As unto the Lord. It's all about what? You living an ordinary life in an extraordinary way to show what? God. So whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, do it all to the glory of God. So God can what? Fruit. Who causes you to even think like this? God does. And God does it in an awesome way. Without me, said the Lord, I do nothing. And I want you to know, you without me, if you don't abide, have nothing. But I went to school and I studied and I... Nothing. Look at all my friends. Nothing. Look at all that I can do and people honor me. Nothing. Nothing. No. Without the pew, you don't enjoy the abiding. Without him, there is no pew, as it were. You don't have one. You can talk about it, write a book about it, tell us about it. Listen, we got more books in all of history now. We used to have them, they don't do them much anymore because people don't read like that. They don't think like that anymore. Generally speaking, they don't do that. But we got them. What's the trouble? In all of it, we never developed the relationship, a simple little. Except you become, Matthew 17, except you become as what? Little, what? Children. Except you become like them. They're dependent on me. Otherwise, nothing's going to happen. Well, nothing? Nothing. Oh, I'll find another place where I can be something. No. You can go wherever you want and do whatever you want. Without me, you do nothing. Period. That's all. And what do you mean nothing? I make it possible for God to do everything with you and in you. There's nothing. That's why you read John 14, 12, 13, 14. You'll do greater works than I do. Whatever you do, ask in my name, I will do it. Do you understand why I told you that? So that I'm able to do in your little life as you eat and drink and enjoy a Merry Christmas. That you're trusting me and abiding like in the pew. That's all I wanted. Oh, there must be something else. No, there is nothing else. Because apart from that, you're no more than they are. The 11 disciples in the upper room, if they don't abide, they're going to go out the door and who knows? You'll never hear from them again. But if they hang in there with commitment, wow, what's going to happen? The day of Pentecost, and wow, are they going to discover what he's been trying to tell them for 3 1/3 years, trying to get it into their head, educating them, what? In order for you to understand, you do nothing of yourself to understand the allness, A-L-L, the allness of God in your life. Allness. Life. Life. Whose life? Your life. How much life do you have? It's called what kind of life? Eternal life. It's God's life. A wonderful life. It's going to just be there. So what? Absent from the... Well, you know all these things. Absent from the body? Where's the stopover? When do you have eternal... Now! You don't get saved to go to heaven. You get saved to go from a state of death to a state of life. To live. To know God. To honor Him. Thank you. By faith. Well, and that's how it works. And it's there. Where is it there? Not in, I believe God. Ah, God, you got to help me. And He will. God, I got to believe God. According to the scriptures, the gospel, death, burial, resurrection, Christ crucified and risen. God, where am I going? Well, I went and I met this believer down the street. I went to school and I met this person. And this person said they know the Lord as their Savior. They gave me a tract or something and I read it. I opened my Bible, or I didn't even open my Bible. I just turned and said, God, save me! And God did. And God did. Well, abide. Without me, you can't do anything. No, that's why you don't see anything. Where's the examples? Drive around the country, let alone the world. Drive around the country and place after place. Show me the life of God. Show me all this. It's very hard to find today. Very hard to find. So it must not exist. Ah, but it does. It isn't found. So don't blame the citizens. God said, you're looking in the wrong place. Look in my word and bend your heart in my direction. If you seek me with all your heart, what? You'll find me. I told you, seek me with all your heart and you'll find me. Don't bring all that stuff up. You're not going to go anywhere. You want to help the young people, the old people, get something going more and more and more in your heart and let it happen. That's all God's trying to tell you. Well, we didn't get very far. And I appreciate. And if nothing else, you can say, I learned nothing. I learned about nothing. How's that? We'll pray. Our Father and God, we thank you for your kindness and grace and for the raindrops and all, God. But no raindrops. Thank you very much. God, we get all tangled up in our stupid thinking. And we lose out. And then we want to piecemeal things and hope somehow we'll find something. And God, that's not the way. God, Ruth had the right idea. Commitment. Awesome commitment. The disciples were, even to death, were committed. God, that's what you want. You just want to see how meaningful, how much do we really want to know you and honor you, really. God, thank you very much for being our life, even now. In Christ's name, amen.